Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman, and it's a pleasure to be here this morning to talk a little bit about some of the work that we've been doing in Ireland in this space of yield, nitrous oxide emissions and ammonia emissions, working in this landscape that you see here. And I work with Teagasc, and for those of you not familiar, we're the primary organisation in Ireland doing research, extension and education of young farmers. So I'll talk a little bit about some of the research that we've been doing in this space. And really we're facing this challenge around how do we apply fertilizer nitrogen while balancing these challenges of producing the yields to underpin our production systems, which are primarily grassland-based animal agriculture production. How do we improve efficiency of that nitrogen? How do we limit ammonia emissions and manage greenhouse gas emissions? And Ireland has commitments to reduce ammonia emissions, to reduce greenhouse gas emissions, and there's a national strategy to increase output. So how do we put all this together or provide solutions, really? And I suppose these are the type of challenges that many of you may be facing in your own environments also. So our Department of Agriculture, a number of years back, funded these two projects, SUDEN and AgriEye, to answer questions, including assessment of emissions from different nitrogen fertilizer formulations in our landscape. Just how much emission is coming from them, and could they provide solutions for us to keep putting nitrogen into the system and producing yield but have better outcomes in terms of environmental parameters. And we know that as a globe we're challenged, across the globe we're challenged to reduce these emissions. This is a paper from Stefan et al. In 2015 in Science, looking at this concept of planetary boundaries. And you can see down here in the bottom, nitrogen and phosphorus are two of these biogeochemical flows that have, if you like, gone beyond this zone of uncertainty or a high-risk zone. So this is an exciting area because we're the people that are going to have to provide the solutions for managing these issues in the future. So a little bit about the project. So the soils of Ireland are quite variable, as you can see from the colour changes that are indicated on this map. So we had three sites located across the island of Ireland in collaboration with Agri-Food and Biosciences Institute in Northern Ireland. And we looked at emissions, yield, and also leaching from these different fertilizer formulations. And those formulations were calcium ammonium nitrate, which is the primary straight nitrogen that's used in Ireland currently, from urea. From urea treated with the urease inhibitor NBPT, from urea treated with the nitrification inhibitor dicyandiamide, and urea treated with both of those inhibitors. The experimental design at these sites was a randomized complete block with 5 replications, and we looked at rates from 100 to 500 kilograms per hectare applied in 5 equal splits throughout the growing season, and also a control, zero nitrogen control. And the data that I'll present today is data that we've recently published, and it comes from 6 site years of information from these 3 sites. So I can't take you to the site, it's a little bit far away, but I suppose this picture visualizes some of the work that was done. So here's one of our experimental units, if you can see the cursor here. So we measured nitrous oxide emissions using a static chamber approach, more than 70,000 of these measurements, individual measurements taken. We measured soil mineral nitrogen over the course of the year, yield performance, and of course this is the aspect that our farmer stakeholders are most interested in, and that's what engages them most. We measured ammonia emissions using a system of wind tunnels, and also nitrate leaching, and we're in the process of publishing that nitrate leaching data, so I'm not going to present that today, but that was also measured. So in terms of yield, if we look at the 3 products that we had across the range of nitrogen rates, those were calcium ammonium nitrate, urea, and urea protected with NBPT, and these are all available in the Irish market currently, so if you like, those are the ones that our farmers have available to them. So what we saw, and which I think surprised a lot of people, was that for these three site years, or sorry, for these six site years, and actually 30 separate nitrogen applications, there was no significant effect of fertilizer formulation. So all of the fertilizer nitrogen forms gave the same level of yield. I think a lot of farmers would have had the expectation that urea would perform significantly poorer, but we are in a temperate maritime climate and this didn't really seem to come through. So what about looking at that wider selection of fertilizer formulations that we had available? So at the 200 kilogram per hectare rate, which if you like is the agronomic rate, we also looked at, in addition, urea treated with NBVT and DCD, and urea treated with DCD only, that's the nitrification inhibitor only. And that had significantly lower yield. And these graphs are just expressed relative to calcium ammonium nitrate, which if you like is the standard in the market, set at 100%. So if you like, this is bringing all the data together in a sort of summarized fashion. If you want to see the individual site years, that data is published in the Agronomy Journal this year. So what about efficiency? That's what this session is labeled, improving nitrogen use efficiency. So we do see a difference here when we compare calcium ammonium nitrate with urea NBPT, no significant difference throughout the range of rates. But for urea at those higher rates, we see lower nitrogen recovery. And just remember that each of these rates are split five times throughout the year. So these lower rates are 20, 40, 60, 80, 100 kilogram per hectare splits. So these are all the types of splits that farmers might actually apply in either a grazing or a silage setting at some time or other during the year. So if we look at apparent fertilizer nitrogen recovery for all five of the fertilizer nitrogen options that we looked at, we saw that that apparent fertilizer nitrogen recovery for calcium ammonium nitrate was high, as we would have expected, but for the urea NBPT, we were achieving about the same level, slightly lower apparent fertilizer recovery for urea, and the lowest level of apparent fertilizer recovery for urea treated with the nitrification inhibitor dicyandiamide. So there seems to be, from an agronomic perspective, there seems to be some tailoring that needs to be done there, balancing the rate at which the nitrification inhibitor is in there versus its effects on agronomic parameters. So what about emissions of ammonia? So using the system of wind tunnels, we looked at relative loss between the different fertilizer formulations or the abatement potential for the different options. So as I mentioned, calcium ammonium nitrate is the primary straight nitrogen form that's used in Ireland presently, but we also use some urea. And if we look at emissions for the various treatments relative to urea, particularly the urea treated with NBPT, either alone or with the nitrification inhibitor, dicyandiamide, we see a significant reduction. On average, that reduction for urea treated with NBPT was 78%, and the full details of that are also published recently in this paper. And just to mention on the urea treated with DCD side, as you can see here, we got a variable response, right? So there is some evidence in the literature of increased emissions with your use of nitrification inhibitors along with urea. Why we saw a reduction, I'm not quite sure. I'm sure someone will probably quiz me more on that later. Of course, when we put nitrogen into the soil system, you're all familiar that if we put nitrate into the system, I'm sure most of you are familiar that you have there the substrate primed, if you like, for denitrification. So what you're looking at here on the vertical axis is the level of soil nitrate throughout the growing season. Just an example of the data set. And that green line with those higher peaks is the calcium ammonium nitrate. So adding in nitrate or near nitrate material to the soil, we see spikes in soil nitrate. not too surprising really, but this just sort of brings it to life, if you like. But much lower levels of soil nitrate for the urea. And as the crop grows, that nitrate is taken up. But of course, it's there susceptible to denitrification if the conditions align to be favorable for that loss pathway. And summarizing the 6 site years of data, all of the temporal flux data is in this paper that's been recently published, but if we bring that all together, what we see is that the emission factor for calcium ammonium nitrate is about 50% higher than the default factor, which is what we were assuming that the emissions were in our climate, so about 1.5%. And the emissions of nitrous oxide for the urea-based products was in all cases lower than that default value. And also there's something interesting here in that the emission across this variable landscape that we put nitrogen into is actually much more stable. And you see that in the CV values here, and those are the CV values for the emissions across the sites. So a CV of 61% for calcium ammonium nitrate across the 6 site years, and a much lower CV for the urea products. And essentially that's what we're trying to do, right? We're trying to stabilize outcomes for the nitrogen that we put into a variable soil and climatic environment. And my colleague Gary Lanigan has taken these emission factors, so these are being brought to EPA, they've been published recently, they've been put into the inventory, and here's just a calculation to give you some concept of the effect of this work actually at a national level. So we're not just doing this work and publishing the papers, it's going on having impact for how Ireland gets a handle on what actual emissions are occurring in our landscape. So on the left here, you see the current emissions using just the default IPCC values. So here, fertilizer, for dung and urine, making up the largest portion. And we've also done similar work with dung and urine, and that work has been recently published also. And you see here the effect on the national emission. So both the size of the pie in absolute terms has changed. This is just the proportions that you're seeing here. And what we see is that a greater proportion of the emissions are now associated with fertilizer nitrogen based on the information that we've generated within this project. And in one sense, this provides opportunities, right? Because we've seen within the project that by changing the form of fertilizer that you use, we can reduce the emissions. So with most of our nitrogen going on as calcium ammonium nitrate, there are options there, other forms of nitrogen that will have lower levels of nitrous oxide emission in our environment, but allow us to sustain yield and efficiency, particularly urea treated with NBPT. So just to conclude, fertilizer formulation, it is a relatively low cost and effective greenhouse gas and ammonia mitigation option. Urea treated with NBPT in our market is a little bit cheaper than calcium ammonium nitrate, which is the standard product that's used. Fertilizer formulation can be used as a strategy to increase fertilizer nitrogen efficiency. But something that we've seen, and many of you may also have come across these challenges, is demonstrating a significant response to fertilizer formulation change is a bit challenging, right? So how do you get that message across to a farmer then to change if you can't demonstrate large differences in yield? But what we did see is differences in efficiencies, in efficiency in 1-year trials. So I suppose that raises the question of what is the effect of lower efficiency over multiple years? Would you then see yield differences emerging after a number of years? So I guess I'm just raising the question there of perhaps there's a need for long-term fertilizer formulation trials to capture yield benefits over the long term. There's very few of those trials out there, but the ones that I have come across have started to see differences in yield emerge over time. And we've put something like this in place in Ireland. So thank you for your attention, and if anyone has any questions, I'd be happy to take them at this point if we have time. So the question is, why would calcium ammonium nitrate have higher emissions than urea? So in our environment, where emissions of nitrous oxide are primarily driven by denitrification processes, we're priming up the soil with a lot of nitrate when we add calcium ammonium nitrate to the soil. Okay? Does that make sense? The urea is converted into nitrate, but what you can see here in this graph is that the blue line here for urea is the level of soil nitrate that's in the soil for urea. So while the while you're absolutely correct that urea is converted to nitrate, while that process is happening, the plant is actively taking up that nitrogen in ammonical forms, and as the nitrate forms, the plant is taking it up. Remember, we're applying fertilizer in a time of the year when the grass is actively growing, and you see this here actually quite nicely with the calcium ammonium nitrate. So we see these large peaks here. So we add fertilizer, the soil nitrate levels go up, and the grass rather rapidly draws that nitrate down. So if you like, the residence time of nitrate, the substrate for denitrification and production of nitrous oxide, is less when you added a urea product. I hope that answers your question. You're welcome.
There is no further question, we will move on.
Okay. Thank you.
We are right about